Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Acts chapter 10. And if you have your Bibles, those of you that are just joining us this morning, we have been involved in a series for the last little while, Sunday mornings, going through the book of Acts, and it's just great looking at the life and times and the story of the early church. And if I was to give a title to today's message, it would be Power to Change. How many know this morning that the gospel has power to change? And we've seen that in all kinds of examples, people like Saul, who had his Damascus Road experience, and I think it was there that we said that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. And even today, we're going to look at some examples of how through the gospel, you know, it's interesting. The gospel not only changes unbelievers, but the gospel also changes believers. How many can relate to the fact that when you became a Christian, you accepted Jesus and he forgave you of your sin and gave you a new life. But in the midst of all of that, the Holy Spirit began to change you in a lot of other areas of your life. How many know what I'm talking about? Like old thinking, old attitudes, prejudice, racism. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Mindsets that you had after you became a believer, and yet you began to see the Holy Spirit beginning to change those areas of your life as well. And so that's really, so today we're going to be looking at some examples of not only how Jesus can change the unbeliever, but how Jesus can change the believer as well. Last Sunday, or the last couple Sundays, we've been looking at Acts chapter 9, and we introduced Peter, the Apostle Peter. And bring up the map there, guys. Let's give a cheer to our tech crew, our young men that are up there serving sound and projection. A couple weeks ago, we introduced Peter, who had been in Jerusalem, the Apostle Peter, and we find him going from Judea to Lydda, where he was involved in a great miracle where a man who had been paralyzed for 8 years, God just miraculously healed him, and the word got out, and next thing you know, he's up to Joppa, which is out on the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea, and there he healed through the power of Jesus. There was a woman by the name of Tabitha, who was just a great woman known for her helping of the poor and so on, and she had died, and through Peter's faith and ministry, we find Tabitha raised from the dead. And so here's Peter, the Apostle Peter, who's out there on this kind of a little mini missionary journey, and he ends up staying in Joppa for a few days. Meanwhile, God is at work in a guy by the name of Cornelius up in Caesarea, which was about a day and a half trip up the coastline. And Caesarea was a Roman, kind of a Roman outpost where it was built by the Romans. It was a city that was used to help govern that area of Israel. And so this morning we're going to pick up the story because there's a man by the name of Cornelius who we talked about briefly last Sunday, another man who was just known for his helping of the poor. But this guy was a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion. And it's interesting how that even though he was a Roman, he was part of the regime that was oppressing Israel. If you know the story, Israel was under Roman rule, and yet God, this Roman centurion in charge of about 100 men, became very attracted to the Jewish faith, and actually ended up becoming very quite well respected and even loved by many of the Jews, even though for many, he would have been perceived an enemy. And so we're going to pick it up here in Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. So hope you have your Bibles or your Bible app. And just follow along, maybe underline some key phrases. Jot some things down in your note. There's an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along as well. And just jot some things down. That would be great. And so picking it up in chapter 10, verse 1. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Let me just say that this guy, you might think that he was already a believer in Jesus. The reality is he was not. He was very interested and very drawn to the Jewish faith, but he had not actually become a Jew. He was still technically a Gentile. But it does say he was devout, God-fearing. He had a respect for the God of Israel. He was very generous. He had adopted some of the values of God's kingdom and being generous to the poor and really started to adopt some of the Jewish practices of prayer, regular prayer. And then in verse 3, it says, and one day at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. How many know that God can speak to seekers, people who are maybe interested in the things of God, even unbelievers? He can show them, God can show them visions, and he's at work in their lives. It says, and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come as a remembrance before God. Last Sunday, that's what we talked about. We talked about just the whole idea, how that God is attracted to generosity. God is attracted to people who are generous and kind and take the care of the poor seriously. And then he says, so your prayers, your gifts to the poor have come up as a remembrance before God. Now send men to Joppa. So here he is in Cornelius, or in Caesarea. And he's saying, I want you to send some men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now let me just pause there for a minute. It's really interesting where Peter is actually hanging out. The last verse of chapter 9 says that Peter went and stayed with Simon the tanner. Now, Simon, this would have been really unusual for a Jew to stay with a tanner. Now, he's not out there on the Mediterranean Sea suntanning. What he's doing is he's tanning dead animals. He's tanning the hides from dead animals. How many know that is a no-no to be around that kind of environment for a Jew? In fact, the tanners were actually required to be out on the outskirts of the city. That's probably why he was down on the ocean, because he couldn't go any farther. And he needed the salt water to actually help do the tanning. But the tanners were required to be away from the main part of the city because of the whole idea of them defiling or bringing, just it would defile any Jewish people if they were nearby. And so here's Simon, Peter, with Simon the tanner. That's kind of weird, isn't it? And yet we can see how God is already beginning to do this work in Peter's life, getting him ready to reach the Gentiles. We'll go a little further. It says, and when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants, here's this Roman soldier, called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and then sent them to Joppa. Interesting how the Holy Spirit, how God through this angel was giving Cornelius some instructions. How many know that sometimes God only gives us the next step? He doesn't give us the whole thing. He doesn't tell us all that's going on. Often, the Holy Spirit only gives us the next step, and then we need to respond to that. Picking it up in verse 9. So Cornelius has had a vision. Now the scene shifts to Peter having a vision. About noon the following day. So Cornelius' vision happened on this day. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Peter saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet. Now, you have to use a little bit of your imagination here. I wish I had something to kind of illustrate this. But Peter saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. Can you picture this? It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." So Peter's hungry. He's hungry. He's, you know, maybe getting a bit delirious, whatever. Anyway, he falls into this trance. And while he's in this trance, God gives to him a vision, a large sheet coming down from heaven. In that sheet are all kinds of animals, reptiles, birds, you name it. It was in it. Interesting sight for Peter to behold. And he's hungry. God says to Peter, "Peter, kill and eat." Now, if you were a mighty hunter, you know, the guy likes to go out and get your game, you would love that verse, wouldn't you? Kill and eat. But for Peter, this was a really strange request for him. He said, "Surely not, Lord," verse 14. Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." This was like a scandalized thought for Peter. Are you with me? Peter is an observant Jew. While he's a believer in Jesus, his life has been transformed by Jesus. The reality is he's still a practicing Jew when it came to certain traditions and certain dietary requirements and habits and patterns and practices and so on. And up until now, the reality is that for the most part, the Christian faith had only landed among the Jews. Now, there were many people who had actually taken the gospel out to some of the outreach areas or the different parts of Israel and Judea and Samaria and so on. But the reality is some of these key people like Peter, most of his faith expression had been among Jewish people only. And so this whole idea of eating animals that would have been considered in his mind unclean and a no-no, forbidden, not kosher, would have been a big deal to Peter. If you want to write this down, you might want to check this out. Leviticus chapter 11 is a great passage which talks about what foods that the Jews could eat and not eat and so on, and you get a little bit of an idea. Interesting that the only animals that a Jew could actually eat, an animal considered clean, was an animal with a cloven hoof and chewed its cud. Now, there were some exceptions, like, for example, the pig. Someone described this chapter as our ability to... It's the chapter where you have permission to eat bacon, you know? But in reality, the Jews, you know, they were not allowed to eat those foods. They were only allowed to eat from the sea fish. They had to have fins and scales. So a salmon would have been just perfect for a... Yay for the salmon fishermen. A salmon would have been perfect for a Jew. Insects. Interesting thing about insects. If it crawled on its belly, if it ran along the ground like an ant or a spider, no way. But if it was a grasshopper or a locust or something like that, like a hopping type of insect, they could eat it. So they had all these rules. And one of the reasons for these rules that God had established in the early days among the Jewish people is that God was setting apart a people for himself. He was separating these people. He had chosen them. He wanted them to be distinct. And one of the ways was through this outward expression was through the foods that they ate, as well as other things that God instituted, like things like circumcision and things like that. Things to set these people apart. But it had never been God's will that the gospel only land with the people of Israel. It had always been God's plan that the gospel would be taken to the whole world. And for Peter had not quite... He understood it to a point, but he hadn't quite figured it out completely. And so God gives him this vision. Here he is at Simon the Tanner's house. You know, a place probably where he shouldn't have been. He was probably violating his conscience somewhat. Like, okay, he's out there tanning hides. I think I'll just kind of keep my distance. because I don't want to, but I needed a place to stay, and so that was a good place to stay. And so here in the midst of all this, God gives them this vision. All these animals, he says, eat. Peter says, never, no way. And then in verse 15, it says, the voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. I would say that whenever God gives us a vision and gives it to us three times, we need to be paying attention. How many know what I'm saying? And three times this vision came to Peter. And basically three times God said, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Verse 17, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, I think we would all agree that would be something definitely like, oh man, what's going on here? The men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. I think this is a beautiful picture of how this, all of a sudden, things start to come into play here, into focus, understanding. God has just said three times, do not call impure that which I have made pure. There's three men that God is sending down from Caesarea down to Joppa to come to find Peter. And Peter gets this word, do not hesitate to go with them. You see, even in reality, even like a Jew was to have no contact with a Gentile. And so even the thought there of going back, going on a journey, welcome, having these Gentiles come into Peter's life would have been a no-no. He would have said no way. In fact, there's some places where it actually talks about how that a Jew would rather feed his scraps to a dog than give it to a Gentile. So we're talking about some serious, serious divisions, walls that were in place here. And God says, do not hesitate. The Spirit says, do not hesitate to go with them. Has the Holy Spirit ever asked you to do something that you were uncomfortable with? Yeah. Holy Spirit ever asked you to maybe go to someone that, like, there's no way I want to talk to that person. They're a scum, you know? you don't think that way, but I bet some of you do. And here the Holy Spirit is saying, Peter, do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. And so verse 21, it says, Peter went down. This is a great story, folks, so just follow with the story. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Again, this divine setup. This would have been an absolute no way thing for Peter to do. But here now Peter is inviting these three Gentiles into the house where he is staying. He's actually staying with a tanner who is basically, his occupation is a defilement to a Jew. Interesting. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? It's crazy. But the thing I want to just point out here is what we see here, we're talking about power to change. What we see here is these walls starting to come down. And you know what? There's some walls in our lives. There's some situations in people's lives that it's absolutely humanly impossible for us to break through. situations that just in the natural, there is absolutely no way that we could overcome those walls. And in this case, there were hundreds of years of divide between the Jews and the Gentiles that were coming down. And what was happening, and this just moves my heart, folks, that God was preparing the church to expand to the Gentiles. It had always been God's will that the gospel not just be for the Jews, but that the gospel one day would be extended to the whole world. Even Abraham, when God gave the covenant to Abraham, he said, you will be a father of a great nation, but also through you and through your seed that many will be blessed. And it was all pointing to Jesus and how that the gospel would be carried to the whole world. And even on the day of Pentecost, or in Acts chapter 1, when God gave the commission to Peter and to the disciples, he said, you will be my witnesses. And Pastor Joel talked about this last Sunday night. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. God had always intended that the gospel be taken to the whole world and not just get stuck or stop with the Jews. And so we see hundreds of years through the power of the gospel, hundreds of years of division and divide and walls starting to come down so that the gospel could go forward. And so Acts chapter 10 is a huge shift from the church primarily being connected to the Jews to now beginning to get ready to expand to the nations. All right, let's pick it up in verse 23. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I think that's a beautiful little line to capture. Who did Cornelius want to expose to the gospel, to whatever this Peter had to say? He didn't really know it was going to come, but what he did is he connected to his friends, he connected to his relatives, people that were close in his life, and he brought them together. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. Peter said, "Get up, stand up." He said, "I am only a man myself." And while talking with him, Peter went inside, and what did he find? He found a large gathering of people. So Cornelius, this non-Jew, this Roman soldier, this seeker of God, whatever, he's got this whole group of friends and relatives all together in the house. He said to them, and then I love what Peter has to say. He says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile." There, Peter just lays it right out. You know, it's against our law for me to be with you. "But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Sometimes God just has to show us that your attitudes are wrong. Your attitude toward that person or that race or that group of people or that class of people or that ethnic group, your attitude is wrong. And in this case, we see this happening. "God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." And why didn't he raise objection? Because the Holy Spirit had prepared him. And I love that about the Holy Spirit. He gets us ready for even a change of thinking or a change of attitude or a change of heart to people that we've pushed aside. And so I want you to think for just a minute about some of today's walls. People who look and think different than you. Walls that are in our minds, attitude walls, economic walls, educational walls, political walls. We often label people by our belief systems, our political alignments, our economic statuses. And these can all become barriers and hindrances to the gospel going forward. And for Peter, he had categorized people. They were basically these Gentiles, these Romans, what they were considered in his mind unclean. He had labeled them. He had written them off because the Holy Spirit is saying, don't call anyone impure or unclean that I've made clean. Friends, it's only the gospel, the power of the gospel, that can break down dividing walls. And so Cornelius, he answers Peter's question when Peter says, why did you send me? Cornelius answered, he says, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at three in the afternoon, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembrance your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa, and he basically rehearses kind of what's happened. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, how many would say that this would have been a real encouragement to Cornelius to think that I've just heard from an angel. An angel has just told me to send down to Joppa to find this guy by the name of Simon who's at the house of Simon the Tanner. And he brings him back. And like, can you imagine Cornelius just thinking like, oh, wow, this is absolutely amazing. God really is speaking. There really is a God. And it was good for you to come. He said, and now, I love this part. If you have your Bibles, underline it. Now, we are all here, this house full of people, friends and relatives. We are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. I just thinking like, that is a pastor's dream. Think about it. That you guys all show up here on a Sunday morning and you're just sitting here like, we are here, Joel. We are here. We can hardly wait for Pastor Dave, Pastor Johnny, for what you have to say. Just tell us what God's commanded you to say. That is a pastor's dream congregation. And you guys are like that every Sunday, right? Yeah. We are all here. Everyone say that. We're all here. In the presence of God, to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. God had prepared Cornelius. Cornelius was just waiting to hear. He was waiting to hear the seeker. The Holy Spirit had been getting him ready to hear what God had to say to them. Aren't you thankful this morning that Peter was obedient to the voice of the Spirit? Peter obeyed. Peter came. These are people that God has prepared, and they are just waiting. Friends, I believe with all my heart there's people that God is preparing right now in your life. It might be a family member. It might be a coworker. It might be a neighbor. And God, the Holy Spirit, is getting them ready, and he's waiting for you to come and speak to them. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to set it up. But in this case, there were walls that had to come down. And because of these walls were coming down on both sides, the gospel was able to advance. Verse 34 says, and then Peter began to speak. I now I love this. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation, including these Roman oppressors, the one who fears him and does what is right. I love Peter. You know, it's okay, friends, to say you're wrong. My wife says that to me all the time. She says, Dave, it's all right to say you're wrong. It's okay. It's okay, Dave, to say, you know what, that was a dumb thing you said or a stupid thing you did. And Peter's confession is, I now realize I was wrong, that God does not show favoritism, that God accepts people from every nation. And then he goes on to talk about the gospel. He says, you know, verse 36, you know the message, and we'll just read it real quick. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. He said, we are witnesses of all this. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him. Basically talks about his and their relationship with Jesus. But in verse 42, but he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Basically, what he's saying is that all of you people in this room, even though you're not a Jew, everyone who believes can receive forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was speaking these words, beautiful verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So here's this large group of people, a house full of friends and relatives. Beautiful picture. They're waiting with bated breath to hear from this Jew come and speak to them as a Gentile. And as they're speaking, they hear the gospel message about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes on them who heard the message. We're going to pick up from there next Sunday. But it's interesting. I was just thinking about it. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's very first sermon, and just a little trivia here, Peter's very first sermon on the day of Pentecost, mainly to Jews. There were others there as well. But 3,000 people came to Christ and were baptized. And here in Acts chapter 10, it's Peter who's giving his sermon to a house full of Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit comes on them too. Isn't that cool? The Holy Spirit wasn't just for the Jews. The Holy Spirit was for all. And just a few quick takeaways, and you might want to jot some of these things down this morning. Some things that we can take with us home into our week, into our neighborhood, into our families. Number one, the gospel is for all people. Just some reminders today from this story. The gospel is for all people. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, Paul even said, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what? If it wasn't for Peter and his willingness to take the gospel to the house of Cornelius and really put an endorsement upon the expansion of the gospel to all people, we might not be here this morning. You and I here, because most of us here are Gentiles. I don't know if we have any Jewish descent people here in our room this morning. But the majority of us today would have been like dogs to them. How many are thankful that the gospel has come to you and to me? Yahoo! But just a reminder today that the gospel is for all people. Again, no favoritism, verse 34. Verse 35, every nation. Verse 43, everyone who believes can experience forgiveness. I want to say this morning, for those of you here this morning, if you've never accepted or found or had opened your heart and life to Jesus Christ, if you've never experienced that, today can be your day. And I want you to know that you are not beyond the reach of God's grace, and forgiveness for you is available for you here this morning, each and every one of you here today. There is no one here today that Jesus, by his blood and by the power of the gospel, cannot forgive. So the gospel is for all people. Can you just imagine, think about it right now, who in your life is that person that maybe, again, as Joel preached last Sunday night, is undesirable or unreachable, or you've written off, or there's walls between you and them. They think differently. They're of a different political stripe or whatever, a different economic status. They live in the wrong neighborhood, on the wrong side of the tracks or whatever. Who is it that just maybe God wants you to reach out to them? Because ultimately, that is the mandate of the church. That is the mandate of this church. That is the mandate of every church here in the Comox Valley, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of every nation. And so the gospel is for all people. Secondly, quickly, the Holy Spirit is at work in people's lives. I think this is a beautiful story today that illustrates the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, working behind the scenes, preparing people, speaking to people, giving visions and dreams and showing, drawing, wooing. The Holy Spirit was wooing this Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius, inviting him, drawing him into the things of God, making him curious, wanting more, and giving him visions, and then following up those visions with confirmations and opening up his heart to receive the gospel. It's so amazing. Friends, I want you to know that God still does it today. He's still doing it today. In a world, folks, we live, one of the great walls that we are up against as a church today is this world of secularism that we are living. There are so many people in our community today that are just, the church is completely off their radar. Of all the, and I say this, not in a complaining way, but I think in a truthful way, of the 40-some years that I've been pastoring, for me, this is probably one of the hardest times to even get the world's attention. There are so many distractions. There are so many things. There, even for you this morning, for you guys to be here even on a Sunday morning like this, there are so many other things that you could have been doing today. And it's hard to get the attention of the world. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, folks. And so we need to be praying and believing and saying, God, would you move by your Spirit and bring down those walls that I could never overcome in myself. Holy Spirit, would you change my heart? Would you change my attitudes? Would you change my prejudices? Would you change my hostilities? Would you tear down any walls that might be in my life that would keep me from taking the gospel to that person? Folks, I'm praying this for myself. I'm not just preaching at you, I'm preaching at me. And I need this as much as anybody. And so the gospel is for all people. The Holy Spirit is at work. We need to let him do his work. We need to participate. We need to be part of how God just joins people together. You know, it's so neat how the Holy Spirit doesn't just work on one end. He works on both ends. How many of you, let me just, by show of hands this morning, just curious, how many of you here today are a believer in Jesus? You're a follower of Christ because someone, God was working in your life, but God was also preparing someone else to connect with you. How many would be part of those kind of equations? Yeah, it's cool. The other thing that we see here this morning, somewhat indirectly in the story, is that ultimate peace is found in Jesus Christ alone. One of the great powers of the gospel is the peace that God brings between people. And I want to just draw your, I want to close with a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not sure if it's on the notes here, but anyway, it says, Paul was saying, and he's directing his comments to the Gentiles. He's saying, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, as a Gentile, you were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility. I love the words hostility because that's the words hostile where it was the actual reality that was between the Jews and the Gentiles. They were hostile towards each other. They hated each other. They couldn't stand. They couldn't even stand to be in the same room together. And yet that's what Jesus can do. Jesus, through the power of the gospel, can tear down every wall, every division, every thing that would cause us to be separated. For he himself, Jesus is our peace, made the two groups one, destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Verse 17 of Acts, Ephesians 2, it says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Would you stand with me, everybody? And Adrian, or would you come to the keyboard, please? When I read that scripture, that last scripture, you are no longer foreigners, strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household. What he's saying is that there's room at the table. There's room in this family for everybody. There's room in this family. There's room in this house, God is saying, for everyone. You might be here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor Dave, I feel like an outsider. I'm kind of drawn to church. I'm kind of drawn to some of this stuff, but I've never really, as I said earlier, never really opened up my life to Jesus. Some of you would say, you know what, I don't know if I could even fit in that church culture world. Because Christians are weird. No, I'm just kidding. But some people have that mindset. The reality is today, more than anything, we're a family. We're part of God's household. We're a citizen. I don't know how many here, but many of you here today, you came from another country. You were born in another nation, but you became a citizen of Canada. How many new Canadians are here? How many became citizens of Canada, and you were your earthly or your heritage is somewhere else? Yeah, see. The reality is that Canada loves to welcome new people of other nations. But even more so, and you guys just got a little applause, which is cool. That was spontaneous. That was genuine from the heart. We're glad to have you. But the greatest citizenship of all is to be a citizen of heaven. To be part of the household of God. And that's what this whole story was about today. Was Peter saying, I finally get it. This is not just for me and my people. It's not just, the gospel is not just for the Jews. The gospel is for all of you who I called you a dog. But now I call you a family member, a brother, a sister. And friends, you are here this morning. Some of you maybe feel like you're on the outside looking in. I want you to know today there's room at this house, not just this church, but in this family, the family of God, for you. And would you just bow your heads right now and just say, Pastor Dave, I want to become a member of God's family. I want to become a member of God's household today. I want to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I need His forgiveness in my life. I'm not inviting you this morning to join a church. I'm inviting you to join a family, the family of God, the household of faith, to become a citizen of heaven. And I'm wondering this morning, with heads bowed in this place, how many would say, Pastor Dave, today is a day I want to give my life to Christ. I want to become part of God's precious family. If that's you, just slip up your hand real quick. I want to pray for you. Anyone this morning, that's you, just raise your hand real quick. I want to see who you are. God is at work this morning. It's not by accident that you're here. It's not by a fluke that you showed up in this church this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray your blessing. Thank you, Lord. I pray against any kind of walls that need to come down. Some of you right now, you're identifying some walls that are keeping you from someone. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but right now in your own heart, just say, Holy Spirit, would you show me some of the walls that I need to overcome? I need some attitude adjustments. I need to give my head a shake. Holy Spirit, give my head a shake. There's things, barriers, divisions, hostilities between me. Maybe there's a family member that you are in. There's bitterness, there's resentment, there's been wrongs, there's been things that have happened, and there's hatred in you towards that family member or that coworker or that neighbor or that friend or that person that you're connected to in some way. Say, Holy, would you just pray this? Everyone take your hand. Put your hand over your heart right now. Everyone, let's do this together. Holy Spirit, if there's anything in my life, any walls that need to come down, so that you can use me to take the gospel to them, would you do it? Would you do it? I pray even as a church that we would not allow any kind of walls to keep us from reaching out into the Comox Valley. Lord, I thank you for our little community garden and how that it's helping to maybe break down some walls, helping us to reach out to our community and neighbors. God, anything that you can use to tear down the walls that will keep us from taking the gospel. And as our Sunday night theme right now is for the sake of the world, God, I pray that we would be faithful for the sake of the world to be carriers of this most precious gift, Jesus Christ. And that we would seize the opportunities like Peter did to walk into a house full of people who were just waiting to hear. Lord, who are those people right now who are waiting to hear? Who are waiting to hear what we have to say to them? Give us courage, Lord. Give us the words. Give us whatever it is that you've called us to say to speak to them. Thank you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, as we end, would you fall fresh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Have we received something today, folks? Take this and say, God, how can I connect this to my world where I am at for His glory and for the sake of the world? Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.